Welcome back, everyone, to the second in our two-part podcast series talking about the SEC's proposed advertising rule changes. I'm Molly Bryson, and today with me, Bill Riley and Michelle Kraft will discuss the pertinent SEC enforcement actions and how Reg BI will impact advertising and marketing practices. Bill's been with Oyster for 7 years. Prior to that, Bill was a state of Florida regulator for 30 years. He has deep experience with broker-dealer and investment advisor compliance programs and frequently acts as an expert witness. Michelle Kraft has been with Oyster for 8 years and in the financial services industry for 24 years. She has held various roles from registration analyst to chief compliance officer for regional and national broker-dealers as well as investment advisors. So let's get started. Bill, could you start us off?
Yes, I'd be glad to. What I did is I, and researching for this presentation, I went ahead and looked for the last couple of years at SEC enforcement actions and came up with three that I thought were noteworthy of speaking about. The first two of the cases I'm going to talk about are robo-advisors. And the reason that I chose those is, number one, robo-advisors is a type of advisor that is being looked at substantially and has been looked at substantially over the last couple of years by the commission. And the violations that were found for these robo-advisors are also going to be found in your more standard type of investment advisor. But the first case I want to talk about is that the SEC found that a robo-advisor with over $11 billion in asset under management made false statements about a tax loss harvesting strategy it offered to clients. What the firm did was it disclosed to clients employing its tax loss harvesting strategy, and the strategy was the selling of securities at a loss to offset capital gains tax liabilities. And the firm would monitor all client accounts for any transactions that might trigger a wash sale. And of course, a wash sale occurs when a security is sold at a loss, but the same security is also purchased within 30 days before or after the sale. And the losses from the wash sales are not recognized for tax purposes. But what the SEC found was that the investment advisor, its system, failed to monitor for wash sales over a period of more than 3 years. During the time of this 3 years, wash sales occurred in at least 31% of accounts enrolled in the firm's tax loss harvesting strategy. So again, the firm said it was going to offer a service, and it never held its part of the bargain up. The SEC also found that the investment advisor improperly retweeted client testimonials without necessary disclosures, paid bloggers for client referrals without the required disclosure and documentation to comply with the solicitor's role, failed to maintain a compliance program reasonably designed to prevent violations of the securities laws. As a result of these issues, the SEC fined the investment advisor $250,000 for violating the anti-fraud, advertising compliance, and some other provisions of the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. This case that I just talked about and the case I'm going to talk about were actions brought in 2018. In the second case, the SEC found that the investment advisor, which had approximately $81 million in assets under management, made a series of misleading statements about its investment performance. And what the commission found that from 2016 until mid-2017, the investment advisor posted on its website and social media comparisons of the investment performance of the investment advisor with those of two other robo-advisor competitors. And by doing this, the SEC stated that the performance comparisons were misleading because the advisor included less than 4% of his clients' accounts, and those 4% had higher than average returns, and that the investment advisor compared this with rates of return that were not based on a competitor's actual trading models. The SEC also found that the advisor failed to maintain required documentation and failed to maintain a compliance program reasonably designed to prevent violations of the securities laws, and that they also found that the advisor violated the anti-fraud, advertising, compliance, and books and records provision of the Advisors Act. These are somewhat fairly common type of violations that we find in the advisor area. The last case I want to talk about is an action brought by the commission against 13 investment advisors. Now, this action was brought in 2016, But I still think it's very appropriate based upon the number of advisors named and some of the violations. But in this case, the SEC brought action against 13 investment advisory firms found to have violated securities laws by spreading the false claims made by an investment management firm about its flagship product. And as a result of an investment sweep, commission found that 13 firms accepted and negligently relied upon claims by the registered investment advisor that one of its strategies for investing in exchange-traded funds had outperformed the S&P index for several years. The firms repeated many of the investment advisor's claims while recommending the investment to their own clients, and this is the important part of the action, recommending the investment to their own clients without obtaining sufficient documentation to substantiate the information being advertised. And basically, through this enforcement process, the advisor admitted in an SEC enforcement case that what was purportedly its real historical track record was only back-tested performance that turned out to be substantially inflated. And as a result of this, I thought that there was a quote that was provided by the commission relating to this activity. And let me go ahead and read the quote. "When an investment advisor echoes another firm's performance claims in its own advertisements, it must verify the information first rather than merely accept it as fact. These advisors negligently pass many of the investment advisor's claim onto their own clients, who were consequently relying on false and misleading information when making investment decisions." And I think the point to be gained here is that you cannot take information provided to you. You must actually make attempts to verify to the best of your ability and confirm data that you're publishing or and providing to your own clients.
In addition to the proposed advertising rule changes, the June 30th, 2020 Reg BI implementation date is looming. CCOs and marketing and compliance teams will be extremely busy reviewing the potentially thousands of marketing and advertising pieces which may be produced against these new requirements. Michelle, what will the Reg BI implementation mean for firms with regard to advertising?
So when we think about the Reg BI impact to firms, we see that there's going to be potentially a larger impact to our broker-dealer firms. And specifically, as we talk about advertising here today, the titles that are being used by registered representatives of broker-dealers. So it's important to note that if an individual is referring to themselves as a financial advisor currently, and they are only registered with a broker-dealer, they do not maintain any kind of license with a registered investment advisor, they are going to be prohibited from using the word advisor in their title. So no longer can they be referred to as a financial advisor. And there's probably, I would say, 80% or more of the individuals in the industry using that term, even if they are only broker-dealer registered. So that's going to require firms to take a look at their approved titles that can be used by individuals and potentially come up with new titles. There's nothing in the rule that states that you can only call yourself a registered representative if you are solely broker-dealer licensed, but the rule is really intended to target the client's understanding of the services that they're being provided. So if you're calling yourself a financial advisor, there's an assumption that you could be providing those services as a registered investment advisor or a representative of an investment advisory firm. Again, people are going to need to start taking a look at business cards, stationery, email signatures. If your firm website has bio pages where you've listed an individual and their title, that could potentially need to be updated. Social media pages where you're listing your name and title. Any flyer, brochure, seminar material, basically any kind of advertising or communication that's personalized to the representative themselves. If it includes the word financial advisor and they are solely registered with a FINRA firm as a registered representative, they cannot represent themselves as a financial advisor. Now, I will mention that if you're a duly registered individual, so you are registered with FINRA as well as being registered with a registered investment advisory firm, then you can still use the financial advisor title. Similarly, if you are registered solely with a registered investment advisory firm, you can again still use the title financial advisor. So duly registered firms and or individuals and solely registered investment advisor representatives can still use financial advisor. If you are broker dealer licensed only, so Series 7 licensed only as an agent through FINRA, you may no longer use the financial advisor title. They may choose to use wealth advisor or financial consultant. There's a variety of different titles that those individuals can still use. Certainly, there's registered representative, which is the term that's typically used as reference from a regulatory standpoint to delineate the difference between a broker-dealer representative and an IA representative. But it's up to firms to make a decision as to what titles they will allow moving forward. We recommend that once you've determined what titles would be allowed for individuals that are solely registered with a broker-dealer, communicate that information to your supervisory principals, to those individuals that are reviewing materials, to look for instances where individuals are still using financial advisor. And remember, this rule does go into effect in June of 2020. So for firms that have mass amounts of advertising materials, I have worked myself with firms that have issued, 4,000 pieces of advertising in a year. They typically, it may be a piece of advertising that is then approved, but then it's tailored to fit the individual that's issuing the material. You need to clearly make sure that you've communicated with your associates the changes in titles. Make sure that your supervisors are looking for it so it doesn't sneak through. And update your policies and procedures to make sure that you have specifically addressed what titles can be used depending on the types of registrations held. So I see that as one of the biggest impacts from an advertising perspective as it relates to the Reg BI rule, which again goes into effect in June of 2020.
Thanks, Michelle and Bill. There will be a lot for folks to do in the upcoming months, and of course, Oyster is ready to help. Oyster's experts can assess your firm's marketing and advertising materials against the Reg BI requirements and the proposed rule changes. Our team is also well prepared to assist with other aspects of your Reg BI implementation. If you have any questions about anything we've discussed today, or if you have a topic you'd like to hear in a future Oysters Do podcast, please feel free to call us at 804-965-5400 or visit our website at www.oysterllc.com.